This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
I come before you, Son of God, this day. I come to you, my Father, that you will show us mercy again. You will give us breath again. You will shine light again. In the name of Jesus, move mightily, Lord. Bring forth deliverance, Jesus. Give so much help to us, Son of God. Oh, give us mercy, Lord. Give us mercy, Son of God. Bless us, Son of God. Glory to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
See how light is shining. You know, all those seven golden candlestick churches, the book of Revelation, they were churches that were living. They were all in the season of the revelation of the Son of the Living God. That's why none of them have arrived at the truth. They were all in the season of the living, but they are in different courts of the living. And from that church, those churches, we saw the harvest in those Revelation 2 and 3. We saw the seal of their work in Revelation chapter 7. Because all those seven churches, they are all servants of God. They are servants of God. That's how Revelation chapter 1 render it this way, is to show to his servant, John, they are a servant of the word and testimony. A big amen?
Amen.
Or they are servants and the brethren, servant the brethren of the word of God, some of the brethren of the word of God and testimony of Jesus. And you know, the word of the truth was not yet open. In fact, that's the sense why they brought the saying of the book is the sayings of that which is true. The word of this prophecy is the word, because prophecy has his word, and prophecy has the word of prophecy. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keepeth those things which are written therein. In Revelation 1, 3, and Revelation 22, 7, say, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That the prophecy has the words of prophecy, which are the sayings. One of the reasons the book of Revelation is to bring the words to 7. Because I ended last time in journey from transition of a Christ. Just what he said. Blessed is he that read it. In Revelation 1, 3. In Revelation 2, 7, he said, blessed is he that keep it. So that he that read it is then for he that keep it. There's a blessing for he that read it. But there's a much more blessing for he that keep it. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. But yes, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he, by the time they have a revelation of 22:7, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings, that keepeth the saying. But Revelation 1:23 says, blessed is he that readeth. So there is reading and there is heareth. And there is in what keepeth. He that readeth, he that heareth, and he that keepeth. So people that can read, if you can read, there's a blessing. And if you can what? Hear, there's a blessing. And if when you can keep, you have reached the full blessing. To hear the word of this prophecy is to hear the word of the is to hear the sayings of the prophecy. The word of prophecy, the words of this prophecy are the sayings of the prophecy or this book. It's called this prophecy, this book. So we can see, as I was saying, that all the seven churches were servants of the word and the testimony. They have arrived at the testimony. They were ready to arrive at the word and the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's why John the Baptist came. Because it's telling us that the writing of the journey of young men is to the word of God. And I said the second young man that is strong is either have the sayings or either have the law, which marked the beginning of the testimony. Because the beginning of testimony starts with the law. That all, you combine the law and the testimony among my disciples. And you are not a disciple if you have not used the word. Just pray to those who believe on his word. If you continue my word, then are you my disciple? So you bind the law and the testimony among disciples, among those who have used the word. So you see that to bind up the law, see the law. So we see that the seal of the living God is at the season when a man have arrived and used the law. That's when you have the seal of the living God. You have the seal of the living God. Those who have the seal of the living God are men that have done the work of the law. Which was Revelation 7. Because you see the law. If you have not arrived at the law, they don't seal you. So the beginning of this, the seal of the living God is that you have what? You have done the law. See the law. That word, the law there, is not seed, bind up the testimony. See the law. Among my disciples. So you must have gone through the word. So nobody can have the seal of the living God if you are just a word fellow. They can't seal you. So all those people that they seal in the book of Revelation chapter 7, the word they had were the law. They have the law of God. Out of the things of God that they have received, they have by this, no man know the things of God, say the Spirit of God. Like no man know the things of a man, say the things of a man. And the things of God start with the word of God. He said in John chapter 3, for whom God has sent, speaketh the words of God. And under the words of God, they are what he called for him in 34 of John, but that I am sent before him. You see, that was sent before Christ, which was John the Baptist. He that had the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who standeth and heareth him, rejoiced. The friend of the bridegroom there is the Holy Ghost. Rejoiced, standeth and heareth him, rejoiced greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must increase. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, that which he hath seen and heard. He did that book of Joseph. No one has seen God at any time. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. What he has seen and heard. John 3. The Father himself, which have sent me, have bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard of his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. What he hath seen and heard. So he has seen his shape. To see his shape is to see his frame. You have seen the frame of the Father, the Son, and seen. So the start of the Son is the prophet. You have seen and heard what you have seen and heard. I said the prophet of the world to come. is the Son of God. What he has seen and heard. So what he saw the shape. That what John chapter 3 said. He has seen the shape. He has seen the Father himself. And the Father himself which have sent me are bore witness of me. For ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen the shape. A big amen.
Amen.
So we can see that the Father has a shape. And the Father his voice. So what he has both seen and heard, that he testified. So the Son is testifying of the shape of the Father. And he's testifying of the things he has heard. He has heard of the voice of the Father. So he is testifying of both what he has seen and heard. They show that the shape of the Father has appeared to the Son. This is exactly the same commission he gave to Paul. Shall I bear witness of both what we have seen and heard of me? In Acts 26. To bear witness of both what you have seen and heard of me. In Acts 22, I said, "Who are thy Lord?" And he said unto me, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. But arise, this is now, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, but a minister, a testifier of these things which thou have seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee. Delivering from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I now send thee." So you cannot be sent if you have not seen an end. You can't be apostle without what you have seen and heard. Then in Acts 22, also 40-15, and he said, "The God of our Father has chosen thee, that thou should then know his will, and see that just one, and shall hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his testified, or shall be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." So that's why you have chosen, and thou shouldest see the just one, and thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Acts chapter 3, 35. "And what he has seen and heard, that which he testified, and no man receive his testimony." So we can see that what the Son is testifying of is both what he has seen, a big amen, and what he has heard. That is what he's testifying of. Anything short of that is not what the Son of God. And we know that what he has seen is the Father. He has seen the shape of the Father, and he has heard the voice of the Father. "He that has received his testimony," a big amen, "has said to his seed, that God is true." Look at verse 34. "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God." So he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. So everybody must start from the words of God. You start from the word of God. And say the word of God is the wisdom of God. So to ask access to the word of God, so have access to the wisdom of God. When you arrive at the laws of God, when the Son of God comes to you, when they send the Son of God to you, when the Son of God is sent to you, when the Son of God comes to you, when you're already sanctified by the Spirit, when you have enjoyed, received the sanctification of the Spirit, and you have received the sanctification of the brain, which is your partial diligence in your election.
Okay.
Partial fulfilling your election.
Okay.
In making is a partial, because when you are sanctified by the Spirit, is the first step. You are taken after you have given your life to Christ, and you have journeyed. You are going to come to a place because your election starts from the day you gave your life to Christ.
Yes,
your calling and your election. When you gave your life to Christ, you are quickening your spirit. That is the day you are beginning your journey of your calling. Though you don't know it, but you have begun.
Yes, sir.
Because many, every unbeliever have been called.
Yes, sir.
He said so. Say, "And unto as many as is the Lord our God shall call." So when you give your life to Christ, you have responded to the call. He said, as many as I was born, this promise to you. And to Acts 22, verse 39, after Holy Ghost came. And Peter told them about what came down. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission. So when you give your life, when you repent and you are baptized, every one of you, you don't preach this kind of message to unbeliever. What is clear, people? Believe and be baptized. That's the message to Gentiles. Jewish is repent and be baptized. Gentile what? Believed and be baptized. Because you don't go and preach repentance to a Gentile, to the dead. Because we are dead in sin and trespasses. But a Jew, though he was dead in spirit, has Torah. He called Torah. He called it lively oracle. He has something that is relating with called lively, that the Gentile don't have. Gentile has what they call lively oracle. It's lively. So the Torah, the law, the prophet, the Psalms, all the writings of the Father, they are lively. So there's something, though they were dead in their spirit, but they were still life in their soul. They have things in their soul. Because repentance, what do repentance? It's not my spirit that does repentance. It's my soul that does repentance. It's soul that repent. The spirit does not repent. It is soul that repent. Repent means to turn. It's my spirit does not turn. It's my soul that turn. Another for repent is also to be converted. So Peter is preaching to the Jews here. Or if you are not a Jew, you are a proselyte. You are a worshiper after the manner of the temple and the synagogue. Though we are scattered. So he told them, repent and be baptized. Just like John the Baptist was preaching. The baptism of John, he called it baptism for remission of sin. In Luke 3:3-4. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for remission of sin. As it is written in the book of the word of Asa, the prophet. Can I tell you something? I say those who can repent are those who have lively oracle. According as it is written in the book of prophet Isaiah, that are 2 from 38-39. Then Peter said unto repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So you know that John the Baptist did not put the name of Jesus Christ in it. Because Jesus Christ was not yet revealed, was not yet manifest. So they were supposed to repent. He went into preaching, baptism for repentance or remission of sin. But Peter is preaching. So Peter is combining what that was lacking in the preaching of John the Baptist. So let me say he took the John, which was the first part, and to the Jesus, and combine both of them. So apostles of Jesus Christ have better edge to preach. John could only preach repentance for the remission of sin. Preaching baptism of repentance for remission of sin. But Peter here also preaching. So Peter was repent. After he has finished preaching, say repent. Also preaching repentance. I'm being baptized, every one of you, in the name, is preach repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Then for remission, remission program will start. So remission program will not start until you have repent, come on, you have been baptized. That is when repentance program will start. Repentance program will kick in. You must what? You must repent, come on. Repent means turn your heart, comma, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, comma again. Just as you see, repent, comma, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin, comma, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Ghost. Then verse 39, for the promise, what do you mean? The promise of the gift of Holy Ghost. The promise of the gift of Holy Ghost is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. Who are the ones that are far off? The Gentiles. Ephesians 2 from verse. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. Gentiles in the flesh, which are different from what? The Jews, who have circumcision in their own flesh that started with Abraham.
Yes,
God gave Abraham circumcision after he had given birth to Ishmael.
Yes,
God said that circumcision is the token of the covenant. Because he has done a work. So remember, he has received the covenant. Eh?
Yes.
He has received the covenant of Jehovah.
Yes.
The covenant of the Lord.
Yes.
Melchizedek has appeared to him in Genesis 14. So he has a covenant. The covenant of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In that same day, Genesis 15:18. In that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. That's after he has gone to recover. I was teaching this thing that you can be a brother, but they will test your, that a brethren can still eat. A brethren can still cast off. That God wants to move from being a brethren, which is called unfeigned love the brethren, unto love one another as brothers. Let brotherly love continue. Yes. When you see the story of Joseph and his brethren, you know they are brethren. They were all brethren. In fact, when you go and read, is it the prayer of Jacob, Israel, when he was praying there, he said the actor as in 49, the blessing of thy father are prevailed above the blessing of thy progenitor unto the uttermost band of the everlasting. They shall be on head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Look at the word. Separated from his brethren. Separated from his brethren. So you can be a brethren. You can still be separated. What separate mean? Though you're a brethren, you can't be a brethren without agreement. That means you share things together. But a brethren can still separate. Exactly what happened also between Joseph and his brethren. Also happened between Abraham and his Lot.
Yes,
and you see that Lot separated from Abraham. Genesis 13:8. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. So there are still strife. There can still be malice amongst brethren.
Yes,
though there is some thin love, but there can still be strife. Once in a way, strife. There can still be strife. There can still be malice. There still be, it can be hypocrisy.
Amen.
But you have to lay them off. Those are commandments you do. When the Lord whom you seek come suddenly into his temple, which you are coming to your soul. Your soul is become his temple.
Yes, sir.
Because the temple of Holy Ghost is your body. The temple of the Lord is your soul. Because he has made covenant with your soul already. Because when you go through sanctification of the Spirit, when your soul goes through sanctification of the Spirit, you have entered the kingdom of Christ. Because you need two things to enter the kingdom of Christ. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So when you have entered, when you have been born of the Spirit, is that we have the water is outer court, which is righteousness. And when you pass through the veil of outer court to the sanctuary, you have entered into hope, because hope entered behind the veil. You have entered behind the veil. And what you stand participating, the activity that takes place in the holy place is activity of sanctification. And the thing they use to sanctify you is you sanctify you with the light of menorah.
Yes,
that's the sanctification of the Spirit, the shining of menorah. So when you have gone through the shining of menorah, the issue of menorah, because salvation of menorah is necessary for every man that's been sanctified to eat of the shewbread. Because you can't partake of the shewbread if you are not sanctified. Do you remember when David and his mighty men came, they asked from the priest that, can we get some bread loaves? And he told them, there is no any other loaves that is here, except the shewbread that was given for priests to eat. And he told them that they can take it. He can allow them to eat it if the young men have been off women for some days. Some of them had wife. That talk about the sanctification, the washing and sanctification. And David, it's 1 Samuel 21:5. And David answered the priest and said, and David said unto Ahimelech, the priest, the king has commanded me in a business, and has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send him. And what I have commanded thee, I have appointed my servant to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what is under thy hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in thy what?
In my hand.
Or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under my hand, but there's aloe bread. You know that every morning they make fresh aloe bread.
Yes,
they take away the old one.
Yes, sir.
So it must be that the bread that they have kept before that they have brought out, which was of the aloe bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women, that's the least consecration. The young men must keep themselves from women. And young women must keep themselves from men. But this is for young men. So that's why you cannot say that you are undergoing sanctification of the spirit. And you touch, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, it is not good for a man to touch a woman. To touch a woman. Now concerning the things, 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He's not talking about physical touch now. He's talking about your soul.
Yeah.
Not to touch a woman. If they have kept themselves from women, at least, this is the least consecration. Touching women from your mind.
Oh.
Touching women with your thoughts. Touching women with your imagination. And it's not just only physical women alone you should not touch. You should also not touch the Babylon, the womb, the mother of our Lord and our daughters. Which are useful lust. You should not touch lust. Worldly lust. Don't touch worldly lust. Don't touch worldly lust. Don't touch ungodly lust. Worldly lust and ungodly lust. As a soul that's a young man, a soul that have left being a babe in Christ, and you have moved from being a babe and you have become what? Children. And from children, by what? And children, they started giving you what? They are already giving you what? Giving you meat to eat. So you should not, are you hearing me? You should not touch a woman. You must possess your vessel. Look at what it's saying, 1 Samuel 21:5. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days. Since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy. So the vessels are the body. Must be holy. But in the New Testament, it's not only our body vessels should be holy. Also our vessel of our soul should be holy. Which is our heart, our mind should be holy. That's what they call sanctification of the spirit. They call it the washing of regeneration in Titus. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. In Titus 3:5, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Can you washing? It's continuous. Washing. Washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Your mind should be renewed by the activity of the Spirit of truth. So it's through the Spirit of truth that you go through the sanctification of the spirit. That washing of regeneration is outer court.
Okay.
which will make you to be righteous.
Yeah.
That's where you deal with worldly lust.
Yes, sir.
Then you come into the sanctuary and come and deal further with worldly lust again. Yeah. Or come and deal with ungodly or ungodly lust through the salvation of the Spirit. Which he taught is in Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live what? Righteously at a court. And what? Ungodly holy place. So, washing of regeneration, we deal with worldly lust. All manner of worldly lust. Worldly lust in mind and worldly lust in the heart. Those worldly lust that they can deal with there are worldly lust that are apparent. Mm-hmm. Because there are some worldly lust that are not apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ungodliness that are not apparent.
Mm-hmm.
But they come to deal with ungodliness because ungodliness has to do with a nature that is not submissive to the Spirit.
Okay.
Because ungodliness is not governed by the Spirit. Or things that fallen spirits have taught the soul. And they are not visible. They are the feet that are unseen. Fitness of the Spirit. That it will take the light of Manora to open up those things and sanctify you from those things. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, there are two things. In Ephesians chapter 5, that they might sanctify and cleanse it. Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water. Washing of the water is the watering of regeneration.
Yes, sir.
That he may present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any of sort. Can you see? Not having spot. That he may present to himself. So, but when he does not present himself, he presents himself when he brings him into the sanctuary. That is your first presentation. That's when he presents himself. Because he's presenting himself before the seven eyes of the Lord that will search you to see every ungodliness, every ungodly lust in you. You have been washed and cleansed and sanctified by the wash you from unrighteousness in the outer court. Because the outer court is the place of washing. Outer court is the place of washing. At the brazen lava. And what they put in that brazen lava is that they burn the animal skin, the ash of animal skin.
Yes,
they said in the book of Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
What they use in brazen lava is that they present you with what? What? Animal skin and what? With hyssop.
Mm-hmm.
No, I said something, but in the holy place, they don't have hyssop.
Mm-hmm.
They have fuller soap. So there's fuller soap in the holy place, but there is hyssop in the outer court. For when Moses has spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of heifer, blood of calves, and of goat with water. Can you say water is water? And scarlet wood and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Eh? For if the blood of bull and of goat and the ash of an heifer speak clean, clean, the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. So worldly lust there is the worldly lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
Because worldly lust is more than flesh. The worldly lust that you are dealing with in 1 John chapter 2 is not worldly lust of the flesh.
Yes, sir.
That worldly lust of the, what they call worldly lust of the flesh there is fitness of the flesh. Which is in 1 Peter 2:11.
Okay.
Dearly beloved, I beseech you as stranger and springing, abstain from fleshly lust. If you don't deal with it, it will war against the soul. There's no battle for the soul already. There's the fleshly lust on the soul. There's a worldly lust of the soul. But there's a worldly lust of the flesh. Because when I talk the flesh, there is not your body. They deal with sins of your body we under the dispensation of the meek of the word. That's what the meek of the word is entering. But when you come into the deal with those things, which Hebrew chapter 13 was saying, let us go without the camp. There's an altar. They don't permit anybody to eat from it.
Yeah.
And what that altar is not in the holy place.
Yes, sir.
That altar is outside the camp. That's the altar that deal with the world. It deal with works of the flesh.
Oh.
The ashes of those animals are not allowed into the sanctuary. They don't allow it. They only allow his blood to be brought, but they don't allow his ashes. Look at it. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that they are be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar. We have an altar. Not that we had. We have. We have an altar. We have an altar. Whereof they have no right to eat. We serve the tabernacle. Can you say? So you know the tabernacle. What is the tabernacle? The tabernacle is the what? Outer court, holy place, and most holy. So those who serve the tabernacle. We have an altar. We have an altar. Whereof they have no right to eat. We serve the tabernacle. If you are serving the tabernacle, from the outer court, only people you are not permitted to eat. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary, they only allow the body.
Yes.
There's the blood, there's the bodies. The body of those beasts, which blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burnt without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffer without the gate. So, he showed that there's a sanctification and a cleansing without the camp. So, there's a sanctification and a cleansing without the camp. Just like there's a sanctification and cleansing in the outer court, there was sanctification and cleansing where? In the holy place. And it's a sanctification and cleansing in the most holy. Because when you read the book of James, the sanctification and the cleansing that Jesus was talking about there is the sanctification and cleansing in the most holy. Mm-hmm. That's something that, where is sanctification in James 4? He called it purify. So I'm talking about sanctify and cleanse. Sanctify and cleanse. They don't sanctify and cleanse you once. At least, it may be more than that. At least, I know that there are four sanctify and cleanse. I know there's four. At least four. There may be more than that, but I know there's four. That is, the ultimate of it is the most holy.
Mm-hmm.
Or in glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sanctification. God, most holy is in glory. So you read it in James chapter 4, then we go and read Jude 1 for you to see it. Give it to me, James. Yeah, daughter and daughter dresses. So, James was writing to people that are in the most holy. God changed chapter 1 and say, every good and perfect light coming from the Father of light. So, these people are going to have Father's light shining. And he called them as the first fruits, are being born of the word of truth in James 1. And I've taught in chapter 3, he talks about the wisdom that is from above.
Yes,
so it's a building that you have been talking about. Then you arrive at chapter 4. Why is there war and fighting among you? Come then, no. So fighting is not, they are not fighting themselves physically, but they say there's a fighting and war for someone that doesn't want to continue to make progress. They don't want to progress in the salvation program of their soul. Because what brought you to this? I was talking about entering the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
That you need both word and spirit to enter the kingdom.
Yes.
And what brought me to that kingdom, it was because I was talking about the son we have sent.
Yes, sir.
Which he that he has sent, speaking the word of God.
Yes, sir.
And what brought me to this place, I said, the things of God start with the word of God. God, because the things of God that I'm talking about here, I'm talking about the things of God of the world to come. All the things of God that are new. Because there are things of God that are former. There are things of God that are former things of God. You read that, when you read Isaiah, they repeated the former things of God. Former things of God are the former materials that God used to make. They are invested, they are unseen. Former things that are unseen. That God used to make things both seen and unseen. God used former things of God to make things that are but they are unseen. But God now used those former things to make both things seen and unseen. God used things unseen to make things seen and unseen.
Yes, sir.
And from the things seen, he made the heaven and earth that are seen. And he made heaven and earth that are not seen. Because there's heaven and earth that are not seen. And there are heaven and earth that are seen. And all these things are produced by former things. So a man can have earth that is seen, but an earth that is not seen. And the earth that is not seen, it was what they gave to Adam. And of the man, what the first Adam was the earth, earthy. That earth is unseen earth, but it's in that man. But he put their unseen entity into earth that is seen, that is physical. But there's physical, there's seen and unseen. But both seen and unseen earth, we are made out of things that don't yet appear.
Yes.
And they are the things of God, they are things of Him. And also, God also used things that are unseen to make heaven. And there are heaven that are seen and heaven that are not seen.
Yes, sir.
Heaven that are seen are the habitat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And heaven that are not seen are what made up the angel, the inside angel, and in the end are heavens.
Yes, sir.
But things that I'm talking about, the things of God, I'm not talking about former things of God. I'm talking about new things. I'm talking about new things, not new things of God. I'm talking about new things. New things. And in the world of new things, the world of new things is divided into two. There are new things that are creation.
Yes, sir.
Or creatures.
Yes.
New things are creatures. And there are new things, what? That are begotten.
Okay.
New things, creature. New things, begotten.
Yes, sir.
New things, creature. Are things of Christ.
Yes, sir.
New things begotten are things of his bosom.
Yes, sir.
Things of his womb.
Mm-hmm.
Things of his what? Of his loins. And even in the world of former things, we have former things. But in the world of the new things, we have new things of creation or creature. And we have new things of the begotten. So in the things of God, we have former things. We have new things. You find that book of Isaiah. Former things and new things. Okay. Isaiah 43. Also, I think there's also something like that in 66 or 65. Also, Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. Remember you know the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and river in the desert. So, in the day, remember the former things of old, for I am God. So, you see, so there are former things of old that are of God. And there's no else. I am God, and there's none like me. Then, when you read Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered. Not come to mind.
Amen.
So I just want you to see that there are former things of God. And what made these former things and these former things, they are both, what these former things are in unseen former things that made both seen and unseen former things.
Yes.
He made both earth that are seen and earth that are not seen, heaven that are seen and heaven that are not seen. Then, but there are new things. So likewise, in the same similitude, these new things are also unseen. But there are things of God that are unseen. But there are things that are of God. And these new things that are of God, they are classified as unseen. They are classified as both creation, new things that God used for creation, and new things that God used to what? To be gods.
Yes,
but they are things of God. All of them are things of God. They are the house. So God can use these new things that is new to do things that are sin. And he can use them to do things that are not sin. And these things of God that are is what God used to make the world, new earth. And these are also what God used to make new heaven. So new heaven and new earth, they are creatures. They are creatures. But they are new creatures.
Yes,
They are new creatures. That's why the new heaven can come down to men of the earth. Because both of them are all creatures. But God, in the new things, is not just only creature. There are things of God that are not creature, which are things for begotten. So new things are things of creature. That's why in the world to come, you will see in Revelation, you see new heaven coming down from God.
Yes, sir.
New heaven came down from God because it's a creature.
Yeah.
He said, I create a new heaven and a new earth. I create new heavens. So they are new, but they are creatures. They are not begotten. So they are creatures. So you can see. So in the world to come, we are still going to have creatures. But those creatures are creatures of the new. They are not former. Those creatures, they use things new on inside of God to make them. That's what Christ, who Christ is. Christ is a creature. Christ is a creature, but it's a new creature. It's a new creature that they use all things new to create. Things of God can be used to create.
Yes, sir.
New things of God can be used to create.
Yes.
And new things of God can be used to burn.
Oh.
So when you use to burn or use to be God, it's all this is superior than when you use to create.
Yes.
So you can use new things to create. You can use new things to burn.
Yeah.
New things used to create abide and endure.
Yes, sir.
Can't pass away.
Yes.
Cannot be corrupted.
Yes, sir.
But new things that they born are more superiority. Another wisdom you can use to make that is Hebrews chapter 3. Yes. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who builded the house are more honored than the house. For every house is built by some man. But he that built all things is God. So you can use all things God to build, to create. But that you used to create or used to be God, but there's still he who used to create or he who used to be God is still superior. He's superior than what he creates. Is superior than what he born.
Yes,
that aspect is so in the word of the new, there's the word of the new of created, which are created things, which are new creatures. But there are also the word of the begotten, which is the word of the true. But there's the word of the only true, which is what? Only begotten. But there's also the word, exclusive word of deity. So even in the word of the new, because God is new every morning,
yes.
There are four classes to them. They are new creature.
Yes, sir.
They are begotten, which is true.
Yes.
And there is what? Only begotten, which is eternal. And there's the, even eternal, there's the deity world. It's eternal deity, which is either created with all things new, with all things of God, he that begat with all things of God, he that the only begotten of all things of God, and he that who is that thing? The source of all things. We are all sufficient lies.
Yeah.
The all-sufficient one. The all-sufficient one. So I was reading from a book of that Hebrew that there is an altar. So I was trying to say, so in the most holy place, there is sanctification and cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
A big amen. In the most holy. Which I was reading for us in the book of James. That's the scripture I was reading. So just go back straight. Just go straight to that place because of time. So after James is talking to people that have father here, you know, like in James chapter 1, and is the father God he was talking about for him. In verse 8, draw near to God. This is God. Things of God. He will draw near to you. God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. So you know, these are not the sinners of the world.
Yes.
These are not sinners in the world. These are not sinners in the camp. These are not sinners, what, in the court. These are not sinners in the sanctuary. These, what he calls sinners here, are those who are in glory. In the presence.
Yes.
Because there's a place. Because presence has journey.
Yes,
sir. He has stretch.
Yes, sir.
Because it's not only James that calls sinners. John also uses that because some people say James has Jewish mentality. When you also read James, John said, we have an advocate with the Father.
Yes.
The Father, the God, the Father. Which started with 1 John chapter 1.
Yes, sir.
From verse 5.
Yes,
1 John 1, 5. This is the message that we have heard of him, that God is light. God, yes, God, draw near to God. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with God, who is light, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. Can you see cleansing? This is a cleansing. This is a cleansing that James was talking. This is a cleansing in the most holy place.
Yes,
cleansing. But you are yet, when you are trying to draw near to God, because God, when in the most holy, when you get to the most holy, is still far. God is still a destination. You have to still travel to God. No, the Son of God come to receive you from the sanctuary. When he take you in, the Son of God is carrying you to the Father. That is God, the Father, is far away. So when the Son is carrying you, he will use his blood. He will use his water. He will use water to sanctify and cleanse you. And he will also use the blood and the spirit to cleanse you. To sanctify and cleanse you.
Yes, sir.
So that's the altar. But nobody just arrive into the mercy seat. You go to cleansing. The Son of God carry you from the sanctuary and carry you in. So, and when he's carrying you in, he cleanses you. Say, if we walk in the light, we are walking by the light that is shining. God is light. God is shining his light from far away. That light is traveled down to the second way and take you in. If we walk in the light as it's in the light, the Son is in the light. The Son is walking in the light. We have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanse off from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess us, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and to cleanse us from all our righteousness. So he was cleansing, and if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. And his word, can you see what? His word is not in us. So even when his word is in you, word is in you, you're still going to go to cleansing. Because the word is not enough. Blood should cleanse you. You have only used the word. And what's the provision of the word is water. The word does not have blood. What brings the blood to you is when the law has come. Because you read it in the book of Hebrew 9. After you have read all the precepts and the law, that's when they open the season of the blood. Which I said, that's the time you experience the seal of the living God. See the law. Look at it. For when Moses has spoken of, he presented unto all the people according to the law, into the blood. You can't take blood. There's no manager of blood until the sin of the law. It took the blood. From when Moses has spoken every precept to the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calf and of the goat with water and scarlet wood and hyssop, and sprinkled the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. Can you see heart, mind, heart, and ends? Ends, heart, and minds. Ends, heart, and minds. This hand here is not your physical hand. It's the hand of your new man. What you are, the hand that you're using to hold the word of God. You can be holding the word of God in unrighteousness. Paul was talking about that. What you can be holding the word of God in unrighteousness, what you have heard You find it in 2 Corinthians 2, the last 3 verses, and 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17. For we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity and as of God. In the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Then, 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, and we fear not, and have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not working in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceivably, but by the manifestation, because you need to have handled the word of God, or you have handled the way before truth will manifest.
Okay.
So, the manifestation of the truth is the sanctification season. Because sanctifying by the truth, for your word is truth. So what they call the sanctification of the spirit is the sanctification of the truth. Either in Christ. When you are in the season of the law, that's when you are sanctifying you by the truth. So is that either sanctification by the spirit, by the sanctification of the spirit of Christ, or sanctification by the spirit of God? So the spirit of Christ is the spirit of truth. The spirit of God is the spirit of truth. That's when you go through your season of sanctification of the spirit. Though you go through the sanctification of the water, you go through this cleansing, the sanctification and the cleansing of water. But what I'm saying, there must be sanctification of the spirit. It's both the water and the spirit. You must be born of water and born of the spirit. Time of born of the water, water will cleanse you, water will sanctify you. Spirit will cleanse you, spirit will sanctify you. Because it takes spirit to see what water cannot enter. This place of spots, wrinkle, blemish, those are the work of spirit where water cannot. And the spirit uses the blood. So the administrator of the blood is the spirit. Is the administrator of the blood. So what brought me to this is that John. So after you have gone through, so you're going to go through these two programs in the most holy. So you have to know that the journey of outer court and sanctuary is together. Outer court and sanctuary are together. They are together. You know, they always divided them into two. Because the priest can enter both of them several times. The only place can at all. So because he can access them together in a day and several times. So they are one. So you explain cleansing in the outer court by the water. You come to experience service from altar without the camp. Altar without the camp, without the city, is not accomplished until he arrived at the sanctuary. They wrote in the book of Hebrew. The bodies of animals that are not allowed to come into the tabernacle, but then that serve in tabernacle are brought into the sanctuary. But the body is burnt.
Yes, sir.
In what? Outside the camp. But they bring the blood of into the sanctuary. The altar without the camp receive the body. The altar without will receive part of the body and part of the blood. But the altar of the attacker will not receive that body and will receive that blood. But they will carry the blood of it into the sanctuary to come and use to touch what? The horn of the altar. To complete the activity of the sanctification. Because both the altar in the sanctuary is before the seven eyes of the Lord.
Yes,
which are the seven spirits of God, the flaming fire of the eyes of the Lord. So though what they are dealing with in that Hebrew 13,
yes,
he said, let us also go without him answer the brain. But it's a thing of reproach. Is sins of reproach, which are works for the flesh, which are the fitness of the flesh that are manifest. But there are things of the flesh that are not manifest. There are things of the flesh that are manifest, which is the major work that they deal without the camp. They are reproaches. That Paul said, this thing should not be named among us again. There are things of the flesh that are manifest. There are things of the flesh that are not manifest. They start in the things of the flesh that are not manifest, which I call fleshly lust. Which is another word for worldly lust.
Yes, sir.
in the what? In the outer court.
Yes, sir.
Then, when you move into the sanctuary, they deal with the fleshly lustfulness of the spirit. They deal with it, which are before the seven eyes of the Lord. So they start teaching, they deal with it. They have to deal with it. Things like all malice, all gall, all hypocrisy, all envies. You know, those things and all evil speaking. They are all fitness of the spirits. They are all sins. That I told you that they will start giving you commandment. You will start receiving things that the Son of God will start supplying. Which I call them two things. It will come to cleanse you there and carry you up. I say when you are doing that, they will start teaching you brotherly love. That's what I taught last week. Brotherly love. He said, as you are doing that thing, they bond you. It's, a man is not doing fervent charity, will not be born. I'll be doing fervent charity, love one another. Love one another. Love one another. And I told you something. I said, that was what Abraham did. Abraham did fervent love. Abraham men did fervent love for them to be able to make Melchizedek. Make Melchizedek would appear, which is a type of Jesus. He came to meet Melchizedek in the sanctuary to adopt him, to receive him. And after he blessed him with the blessing of the Most High, which means adopting you into the realm of the Most High. But he adopted him. Then they make a covenant with him of what he has finished. It is the seal of the Lord. The covenant of the Lord. Which Timothy said, for everyone that named the name of the Lord, they'd have this seal. Everyone that named the name of Christ, having this seal. The foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the law. So if you are having the foundation of God that is standing sure, there's a seal. The Lord knoweth then that there is, and let everyone that name the name of Christ. That's a seal on Christ. Christ, that's a seal. When a man is full Christ, there's a seal they will bring you into. When a man is like this, or his soul is like this, I use the word, then I say you will start your journey of growing unto what? To a little children, first little children, grow what they call sincere meek of the world. I say sincere meek of the world. Is there, 1 Peter 1, call it the word of the Lord. I say, but it's also the word of God. The word of God is incorruptible seed. Yes, but it's a kind of word which is milk and honey.
Yes,
or butter honey, which prepares you for the word of God. You use that thing to grow as a newborn babe unto a child. And as a child, just like as a child, they bring you meat in Christ. So when you become a child in everlasting life, they bring you the word of God to use it. To grow up, I say you use the living word of God and live it as a child. And come into your first child, into your second child. Your first child, your sin will be forgiven by the word of God and live it. And that living is you experiencing what? The living word of God. You find it in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Because the word of God has two sides. For the word of God is living and active. And full of power, making the operative, energizing. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God is living and active and full of power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as division of soul and spirit. Majorly, the word of God is not for body. The word of God is to deal with matters of your soul and the manner of spirits. Spirit there is not a being, but loss that is running your soul. Dividing between the soul and spirit, the comings of a person, and of joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging the very thought. Can you say an intent of the heart, intention of the heart, the very thought, an intention of the heart's intention? But not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed. And reveal to the eyes of him with whom we have to give account. So he used the word to bring you to himself. So he send you, we send you what? The word. And what I call the word is, I say, what is the fire?
Yes, sir.
It's a refiner fire.
Yes, sir.
And it's fuller soap. So it comes to you. Then they bring you to the sanctuary. The word of the Lord comes to you.
Yes, sir.
Which has what? As what? A refiner fire and it's fuller soap. It's a word. Then they come to you again. He bring you before his own sight. where you can start receiving incorrigible seed. They give the seed to a little child, which makes his sin to be forgiven you, which is 1 John that we are reading, chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. If you walk in the light, that light is the light of the world. All creatures is open before you want to do, before the eye. The eyes is light, because the seven eye of the Lord are seven menorah. But here, before the eye of what we want to do, this eye is the eye in the most holy place. It's the eye of the Son of God that I brought you from the sanctuary. All things that he stress you. He stress your thoughts and the intention of your heart. He stress your bones and your marrow. Why bones and marrow? Bones and marrow is what generates your blood. Bone and marrow are a place of generating. What generates things? The word of God will work on your bones and your marrow. Because Satan has corrupted our marrows. Satan has corrupted our bones. And creatures, even our new creature, things of Christ that have been forming us, the word of God will still straight them. When they say there's no creature, that creature is Christ in you. Christ that has been forming you. The word of God will straight it. Because that Christ has been forming you, they seem to make Christ precious. They call it chief, precious, chief cornerstone. They need to make it precious. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. Let me use that possible to teach all to this verse 8 and 9. Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guard and all hypocrisy, envies, and all evil speakings. As newborn babe, desires the same of the world, that you might grow thereby. It so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to who's coming? Can you say coming? The Lord does not only come once. The Son of God does not come only once. Coming. You are going to, they open to the word of coming. He starts coming to you from the sanctuary. And if you see coming to you, you start seeing his comings. To whom's coming as unto a living stone. Can you see? So he will come to you when you are a newborn babe. He will come to you when you are grown thereby. And when you are grown, right, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Yes.
This gracious is not the systemic of the world. Tasting the word of the gracious there is what? Is the word incorruptible seed. Because it's the word of his grace. He's able to build you up. It's the same of the word that you may grow thereby. It so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom come he as unto a living stone. He come unto us a living stone. This lie indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also. So no, you are no longer a newborn babe. You also as lively stones. So you have tasted the Lord. You have tasted the good of the Lord. And you have seen the Lord's coming. The Lord has come to you as a chosen and precious. Oh, he has come to you as a living stone. As a living stone. What is a living stone? A living stone is a strong meat of the word. It is the word of God that is living. And quickening. As a living stone. Ye also, as lively stone, are built up a spiritual house. An holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Full stop. As lively stone. He's a living stone. Ye also as lively stone. So lively stones, stone that have journey, which verse 6 was talking about. Wherefore it is contained in the Holy Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Now I started my thought that you can fulfill election in part,
yes,
or partial. You have not arrived at make your calling and election sure. I say, the day you give life to Christ, as many as he shall call, Ephesians chapter 2, to those who are near and those who are far apart. So when you see a lively stone is a stone that is near. It's near because at unto coming, he come to you as a living stone. Coming to you also as a lively stone, I beat up a spiritual house. An holy priesthood to offer up a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, a precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. The stone which the builders disallow, the saints become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the wall. Can you say? So you can see that what produced the living stone is the wall. So the living stone there is the wall, the sin of the incorruptible seed. So you have to do the work, which starts, you start doing the Lord's work as a newborn baby. You do the word of the Lord, and you move to the word of God.
Yes, sir.
When you are finished doing the word of God, be ready for what? For the word. For, because it's the word and spirit. Be ready for the word, the sin of the testimony. And sin of testimony starts with the law. Because bind the testimony, see the law among my disciples. For if the law and the testimony do not speak according to this thing, so there's no light in them. To the law and to this. So the season of the spirit is from the law. So they say, he who God has sent, speaketh the word of God. For what he has seen, that he testified, and no man received his testimony. He that has received his testimony has said to his seed that God is true. So you can't move into the word of the God is true. If you have not have a seal, receive his testimony, have said to his seal that God is true. So the church, book of Revelation, but before you can receive his testimony, look at what you must receive. He that has received his testimony has said to his seed that God is true. From he whom God has sent, speaketh the word of God. For God giveth no spirit by measure unto him. So he thought about, after you have received the sin of the word of God, that's when you move into the realm of the spirit. So God does only give word. For God giveth not the spirit. So God giveth the word. God also giveth the spirit. So the giving of the spirit is the giving of the law. Or to testimony before God we give the seal. Because we're talking about the things of God.
Yes,
so God start giving you first of all the word of God. If God has sent, speak the word of God. Then from the giving the word of God, God will give spirits. Give a spirit without measure. So the word of spirit without measure is what? The law,
yes,
the covenant, the testimony to the seal. In the time of the spirit, there is the spirit of the living God.
Yes, sir.
The spirit of true God. So the spirit of the living God will give you a seal. The spirit of the true God will give you a seal, but they are the administration of the spirit without measure. So the sin of the spirit without measure is the season of the spirit of truth unto the spirit of the true. Because there's a testimony of the true God. But there's a testimony of the word living God. The living God has his testimony. The true God has his testimony. Because the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. When you finish the living, you also move into the word the true. But the life that is in the Son of God is a true life. Because the life, basically, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life in the Son of God is the true life. You need true life to access the Father. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. And you can't attend the Father until you have received the life. The life in the Son is the seal. The life, what? Of the Son is the seal. He who God has sealed. Him, a God, the Father, seal. What did God Father use to seal him? His life, which is the true life. God the Father is true, but he sealed his Son with true life. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endure into everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him, a God, the Father, sealed. So the everlasting life that the Father sealed the Son of God with is true. That you need to come to the Father who is true. But the Father does not see the Son until he has come into everlasting life. Or he has done truth. You must do truth and do truth and do truth and do truth and do truth. You do truth as the word. You do truth as the law. You do truth as covenant and do truth until you have a testimony. When you are the testimony, the Father comes to seal. Everything you have done is living, 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 living. But to cross over to the truth, the Father comes. Even if you have everlasting life, the list of everlasting life is true. And look at the everlasting love of the Father is true. the list of everlasting life of the Father is true. As long as the Father, when the Father comes into with life, when the Father comes to give you life, when you are still in the Word of God is living. When you are still in the Word of the law of God, you are still appropriating the things of the living. When you move into the things of the covenant, you are still in the Word of the living. Because covenant joins you to God. When you move into the things of the testimony, you are still in the Word of the living. And you not do testimony to the end of the testimony. And the Father come to say that this testimony, because the person that come to see the law. I say, when you have the law, they come and see you. When you have testimony, they come and see you again.
Yes, sir.
To bind up the testimony. See the law among my disciples. Because for you to come into the fellowship of the truth means that darkness is past and the true light is shining already. No, cannot say you have everlasting life. Because when a man has everlasting life, he shall not perish. You can't perish anymore. John 3. You can't perish anymore. And what will make you not to perish anymore is not that it's living. So long as you are living, you can still perish. And he said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. In that John 6. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Unto everlasting life. We the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him at God the Father see. Then said unto them, what shall we do that we might do the work of God? And just said unto them, this is the work of God that you believe whom he has sent. As then Father have life in himself. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give you is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Did you therefore swore among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, very, very say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and you drink his blood, you have no life in you. So you must eat the flesh and then the blood.
Yes, sir.
So the blood, I said it's the spirit that ministers the blood.
Yes,
and the blood means the truth, the word of truth. And the word of truth in the Son, the way is the bread.
Yes, sir.
Because it can consecutive in his flesh, the new and the living way. So the way is the flesh. Then the blood is the law, the covenant, and the testimony, which are all truth. But I say unto you, I said you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, which is the way, and drink his blood, which is the sanctification of the spirits under God. By the Spirit, which is the minister, you have no life in you. So you have to move from the way, the flesh, onto the truth before you arrive at the way. You have no life in you. The first life you must have is the life that is in the Son. And the life in the Son is everlasting life. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. With the Son shall give unto you, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. For him as the God the Father sealed. So the life that the Father sealed the Son with was true life. But they called that seal, they called it the seal of the living God. Then said they unto me, what shall we do that we might work the work of God? I said, you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So there's a life that you mean. Whosoever eateth of my flesh and drink my blood, this eternal life is everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drink my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your Father did me eat manna and are there. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Everlasting. When you are still in the world of the living, you can still be corrupted. You can still perish. Because you still have work fear to accomplish. The life that the Father come to see the Son, everlasting life, is beginning of truth. The end of the living, the seal of the living God, is the cap. Is the seal. You see, it face down.
Yes, sir.
That's what they call it, living. But when you turn it upward, it's true. But it's just at the beginning of the true. The beginning of the living is Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The beginning of the living is Christ with fervent charity in the sanctuary.
Yes, sir.
That they are taking over, that they are newborn. When the end of the living is true, when you have at the testimony. Because he that have his testimony has said to his see that God, when you have testimony, you said that the see that God is true. When you arrive at the testimony, then you said to the see that God is true. What they used to see is true.
But when you see that, we see it's living. When you are looking from the down. But when you are looking from up, it's true. It's the foundation of the true upward. But when you are looking from down, what you are seeing is living. But from the true, the cap. When you look at a cap has hollow. When you wear the cap. But you can look for the cap from the depths. Under the depth is the living God. But under the cap is true. That cap has a journey further. It highlights. So the seed that they bring upon testimony. That's why I say, bind up the testimony and see the law. So you find all the churches in the book of Revelation. They were all in different measure of the works of God. The work of God and the writings of God. Some of them are in the season of the word of God. Some of them are in the laws of God. Some of them are already in covenant of God. Some of them are in testimony of God. But we saw, as Revelation chapter 7, they see them with the seal of the living God. They see them with the seal of the living God, which introduced them to the season of the sayings, the word and the sayings of the book, which are true. The word of the true is the word of prophecy. That opened up the word of the true God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that do not fall of the servant and of the brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jochai is the spirit of prophecy. When you have the testimony, you have the seal. Spirit of prophecy means you have the spirit of the true God. You are opening to the word of the true God. John chapter 4. Our Father worship this mountain, and you say, in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Just say unto our women, believe me, the hour cometh. When you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at this one worship the Father. Because you don't have what it takes to worship the Father yet. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jew. But the hour cometh, and now is. There's what is called now is. And there's the one that the hour is come. There's hour of now. Yes, that the hour now is. And there's hour that cometh. When true worshiper, is that we true worshippers, yes, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The hour cometh, and the now is. Okay? So there are two things they are doing simultaneously. When true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They put semicolon there. For the Father seeketh sought to worship him. God is a spirit. He that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. What do you think he's talking about here? Spirit and in truth. Because the order here is that they are feeling the cause of truth. And they have inspired me in spirit of prophecy.
Yes, sir.
But they have worshipped with testimony.
Yes, sir.
Because when you are a man that have testimony, you worship God.
Yes, sir.
You are both servant and worshipper.
Yes,
but you have a grade of worshipper. Men that can walk, move into the world of true worship. But 24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh sought to worship. So in spirit there is truth. True. In truth and in truth. In truth and in truth. In spirit mean in truth. In truth. Those are you need in truth and in truth. In truth and in truth to worship God and to worship the Father. For you to be categorized as the true worshiper. In truth, in spirit. In spirit means in spirit of prophecy. Which is the sayings, the word and the sayings of prophecy of this book. So when a man has arrived at in the life, the life is this in spirit. I am the way, the truth. When you have arrived in the truth, you have, that's the testimony. But in life, you are in spirit. In life is in spirit. When you have arrived in life, you are in spirit. Already in the world of life, the word that I speak, there are spirit and life. In spirit. And that spirit there is small letter. The word that I speak, there are spirit and life. How do you render it in Hebrew for? The word of God is quick and powerful. So you have moved into that word of powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. You are moving to the word of him. Where in whom all things are naked and open before whom we are to do. You have arrived at whom you are to do. With the word of the true God. You have arrived at whom in whom the Father has sent.
To arrive at, when the father saying, we have arrived at his life. And that is life. So a man with truth has testimony. But when you have his life, you have truth. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Can you see? So the Son is true. The Son is true. The one that is sent. So when you arrive at the life of the Son is true. Which also agree with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The promise in the Son of God. All the promises in the Son of God is true. You are the one that had to journey towards that. So when you arrive at the promise of life that is in the Son, 2 Corinthians 1, 18, 20, was not ye a name. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Stephen and Thomas, was not ye a name, but in him was ye. For all the promises of God in him, in the Son of God, all the promises of God in him are ye and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So it showed that the word of truth, he has ye and amen. So there's a truth that is ye, there's a truth that is amen. So truth that is amen is the beginning of everlasting life of truth. That's supposed to lead you into the Father, which is the word of where you now explain the full truth. When you say, I am the way, I am the truth, those are living. True as a law, covenant, and testimony. By the time you arrive at the testimony, they bind you. To bind you into the word of the truth, or to bind you into the word of life. Life, that is in the Son. But the law and the law will seal you. Testimony will bind you into that which is true. He that have the testimony has said to his see that God, when you have testimony, you have said to his see that God is true. To have said to his me, you have arrived where you say, I want to know the true God. And they give you that cap. They give you a cap of the true God. People are looking at it from the way they are seen as a living. You have fulfilled and obedience. That cap to you, they see it. But it's open to the word of the true. For you to start coming to the word of the true, which is the word of the Father. The word of God. The Lord bless you, amen. Keep you, amen. Cause his face to shine upon you, amen. And be gracious to you. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.